Acts chapter 27. We're getting close to the end of the book of Acts. It's funny, as I was studying this week, I was real excited about the message, and then I remembered it was communion. So I don't know how far we're going to get through this message, but very encouraging. We're going to be talking about hope and how important hope is. But before we get into the word, as always, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, how grateful we are for this day, this beautiful day that you've given to us. God, I'm thankful to see the body of Christ here this morning. We pray, Lord, that you would bless us as we gather. Bless us, Lord, that we've sung and sang to you, sung songs to you, Lord, to our Savior Jesus. We are so grateful that we have, our eyes have been opened, our hearts have been opened to the truth of who Jesus is, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And because of what Jesus has done, we have heaven secured. And Lord, that is something that should bring us great hope. And so as we study this scripture, as we study this text, and see the life of the Apostle Paul always in the palm of your hand, God, may we remember the same thing, that when we're in our storms, that you are there with us, and that you have us in the palm of your hand. So get us through these storms, God. Get us to our destination safely. And until that time, we pray, Lord, that we would be faithful as you are faithful. To you be the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, in the Bible, hope is never a static thing. Hope is something that's an action. It's something that we exhibit. It's dynamic. It's active. It has directive. And it's sustaining. Hope is something that we need, especially in the days that we're living, don't we? In a couple days, things are going to be a little bit different, aren't they, in our country? But here's the thing I want to remind all of us. Our hope isn't in our government. Our hope isn't even in the country. Our hope is in God. And whoever makes it to the White House, we know we have a king who's seated on his throne, that his throne and his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And that's the hope that we can have as believers. And we need to be praying as Christians for Tuesday because, you know, by all accounts, it's going to be a crazy day. And half of this country is going to be upset. And here's what I want to encourage all of us. Put your hope in Christ. No matter what happens, we belong to him. And the way I read my Bible, the end's coming, right? And so let God do what God wants to do because he is in control. And that's where our hope must be. Our hope must be in God. Biblical hope is not an escape from the difficulties in life, right? Our hope is in something greater. Our hope is in something better. Our hope is in God. Now, from time to time, you know, God gives us an amazing amount of hope and gets us through our difficulties. But sometimes, by a show of hands, how many of us have to go through difficulties for a long period of time, longer than we would ever hope? You know, and I see us. Yes, we don't want to have to deal with these things in our lives, but when we have biblical hope, it motivates us to keep on going. It motivates us to be faithful. And here's the beautiful thing about hope. It's something we can share. It's not just something you conjure up on your own. We get hope out of the Word of God. We get hope out of spending time with the Lord. But we should also have hope from each other, encouraging each other. You know, this morning we got going. This morning we got putting things together. And finally, Pastor R.J. said, stop. We got to pray. Because our hope is in God. Our desire is to put God first in our church, certainly, but also in our lives, in our homes, in our workplaces, in our relationships. Hope is in God. And hope has results. And real quickly, I just want to go through these. Hope changes how we see ourselves. Hope changes how we see ourselves. Because it's that hope that we have inside. It's that hope of our salvation that encourages us to stay the course, right? I mean, I think of David, no better example than someone like David who encouraged himself, who gave hope to himself. He was like, soul, you will trust in God. He was convincing himself. So when you feel discouraged and when you feel down, it's those times where you gotta just stand up and stand on the truth, God, give me hope, strengthen me. In fact, it's in 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm gonna turn there. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 13, says, yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me." Peter was so encouraged in his life that it was important that I need to stir people up. I need to remind you and encourage you of the things that we know about the Lord. Guys, this is iron sharpening iron. This is encouraging one another. I'm reminding you this morning by way of this text to be encouraged. To be encouraged in this life. God is going to get us safely through. Do you believe that? And if you do believe that, guess what? It automatically transpires into hope when you have that kind of belief. Another scripture in Peter chapter 2, it's Peter chapter 1 this time in chapter 2, says this: "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles," or the unbelievers, "that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." Wow. We have an opportunity as believers to share the hope that we have in our Savior. We are eternal beings. We get to live forever for those of us who believe. And we get to encourage others to do the same. And here Peter's like, listen, don't forget, this is not our home. Don't forget, we're just passing through. And don't forget, while we pass through, to live lives that honor the Lord. That's what we need to encourage each other with, is to live lives that honor the Lord, so that the world will maybe mock us, but ultimately they will eventually give glory to God. That is our job as believers, and that's what we see in ourselves. Number two, it changes to what we value. Biblical hope makes us heavenly-minded and not earthly-minded. Do you ever get bummed out? Do you ever get discouraged when you start seeing the world? When you start watching the news? When you start hearing the things that are going on? You know, many of us through this pandemic spent more time on Netflix and different shows like that, watching different things and watching a bunch of documentaries telling us how bad our country, our world is, I should say. It's like there's so much out there that's bad. But we need to be encouraged to see the good in the things that we value. This earth is passing away. There's a new earth coming when Jesus returns, and that brings us hope. Jesus said it this way, and this is the last verse I'll share. He says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth or rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." I think about in our time of worship this morning, when we're lifting our hearts to God, when we're lifting our voices to the Lord, that we're focusing on heaven. We're focusing on where our treasure truly is. There's no treasure here. Yes, there's things that we have here in this life to enjoy. There's things that we should enjoy. God doesn't mind blessing his kids. He doesn't mind you having things as long as you have a right perspective on it and as long as God is the priority in your life. But where is your treasure? Man, I hope your treasure isn't in your business. I hope your treasure isn't in your career. I hope your treasure isn't in your bank account or lack thereof. But I hope your treasure is in heaven, because that's where our hope is. And then finally, hope, biblical hope, affects what we do. It affects what we do. To be examples to others, to encourage others to live godly, right? Is to motivate others to live for the Lord, that our marriages would be godly, that our relationships would be godly, that our workplaces, we would bring God and invite God into them. So this hope comes from the foundation of who God is. And as we get into Acts chapter 27, Paul is a prisoner in Caesarea, and he's on his way to Rome. It's interesting that in God's sovereignty, he decided to get Paul to Rome and let Rome pay the bill to get him there. I love that. Paul's going to enter into a storm. And it'll remind many of us in this room the storms of our lives and the fact that we can still have hope in the midst of our storms. Amen? Amen. Let's read in verse 1 of Acts chapter 27. It says, "And when it was decided that we should sail to Italy, they delivered Paul and some other prisoners to one named Julius, a centurion of the Augustan regiment. So entering a ship of Adramidium, we put to sea, meaning to sail along the coast of Asia. Aristarchus, a Mediterranean of Thessalonica, was with us. And the next day we landed at Sidon. And Julius treated Paul kindly and gave him liberty to go to his friends and receive care. When we had put to sea from there, we sailed under the shelter of Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea, which is off Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. There the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing to Italy, and he put us on board. When we had sailed slowly many days and arrived with difficulty off Cnidus, the wind not permitting us to proceed, we sailed under the shelter of Crete of Salome. Passing it with difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Havens, near the city of Lycia. Now when much time had been spent, and sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was already over, Paul advised them, saying, 'Men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also our lives.' Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. And because the harbor was not suitable to winter in, the majority advised to set sail from there also, if by any means they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete, opening towards the southwest and northwest, and winter there." So the first thing I see as we're talking about hope, and again, my message, the title for my message is Sharing Your Hope. Sharing your hope. It's so interesting to me that as this journey begins, as this trip to Rome begins, and Paul is put on this ship, we'll see later that there's 276 people on this ship. And I just love the fact that the Apostle Paul gives advice. Now, he's a prisoner, right? And to think about the fact that Paul's, I don't know, discernment, his understanding of the seas, his understanding of what's going on, he's giving advice to a trained captain. And to me, anytime God puts something on your heart, it's important that we share it. It's important that we share it with those who need to hear that information. Now, it can be a little unsettling sometimes when God speaks to your heart. You're like, "Lord, I don't know that person, or it's none of my business." But when God shows you something, shouldn't you share that? And we'll see it more as we get into the next section. But here, the Apostle Paul is not afraid to say, "Hey, guys, I'm seeing that this is not going to be good for us." And it's important for us as believers to spend time, because I believe the Apostle Paul spent time with the Lord, and I believe the Lord was guiding him in this way. And if we would spend time with God, he would give us those checks in our spirit. He would give us those times where we go, "I'm not sure that we should go in this direction. I'm not sure that we should do this," because we cannot just move out by our own wisdom. How many have ever gone out in their own wisdom and found themselves didn't work out so well? Right? I mean, it's like, "Lord, I'm sorry." You know, when things don't go well in my life and my wife says, "Well, did you pray about it?" That usually means I didn't, right? It's like, no, because if I had prayed about it, it would have worked out right and I would be okay with this. But to spend time with the Lord, because he knows what's best. And I just love the fact that the Apostle Paul is not afraid to be used. As this chapter unfolds, we see something happen here. Remember, the writer of Acts is Luke, the doctor Luke, the writer of the Gospel of Luke. And here he's introduced again. We see "we" in verse 1. "And when it was decided that we should set sail." So Luke was with Paul on this ship. So Luke has an eyewitness account of these things that happened. And so Luke is able to give us details of exactly what's happening. Now, I just want to put a map up here on the screen. This is the journey. Now, we're not going to get all the way to Italy this chapter, this Sunday. But you see, they start in Caesarea on the far right, and they're going up to Sidon. And then they'll sail around Cyprus until they get to Myra. So that's the path that they're taking. Now, obviously, it would be a straighter path to go straight to Rome, but they're following along the shoreline because this time of year, the weather's getting worse. Winter's coming. And Paul's wisdom is going to reveal to us that that's not the smart thing to do, to travel during these times. And Paul actually gives them advice to stay put, but they don't. So here's another interesting thing. In verse, where is it? In verse 3, and the next day we landed at Sidon, and Julius treated Paul kindly and gave him liberty to go to his friends and receive care. The thing I want to point out here, because this ship is filled with prisoners, criminals, and Paul. Paul was different, wouldn't you admit? Paul was different even compared to other Christians. But Paul being on this ship must have made an amazing impact on Julius. He watched his character as they were sailing through the seas. He watched this man. He watched the peace that was on him. Because compared to the other prisoners who were probably on their way to Rome to die, Paul was trusting in his God. And I stopped for us to look at this because it's important for us as believers, even when we're in a storm, even when we're in a bad place, that our character and our integrity stays intact. Let people around you know that you're a believer by your actions. Not just by what jewelry you wear, not just by the things that you say, but the things that you do. I think it's important to have godly character. And if we're going to be sharing our hope, people need to know where our hope is coming from, right? Our hope doesn't come from the wisdom of man's writings or man's wisdom. Our wisdom comes from God. And so if we're going to share hope, it needs to come from the Lord. So make sure your life is different. I know we live in the Bible Belt, and there's a lot of people that call themselves Christians. But it's important that people know that we trust in the Lord Jesus, that we trust in the Word of God. Does anyone in this room believe that the Word of God is outdated? No. See, we laugh, but you know, people think that. Oh, those are old things. Those are things that were written many, many years ago. They don't apply anymore. This is our standard. This is our truth standard, and we need to follow this. And as believers, we need to be encouraged by these things. So as we are living our lives, let's make sure that we're different. Let people know that you're a person that will pray with them or pray for them. You know, it's important to let people know who we are and who we belong to. Paul gives this advice because Paul experienced shipwreck, right? I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25. It says that three times he was left at sea. And so Paul is on the ship going, hey, guys, I've been here. You don't want to be there. You don't want to do this. A lot of us in this room have had experiences that we want to share with others. Like the older Christians in this room want to share it with the younger Christians. These are the things that are going to happen in your life. These are things that are going to happen when you get married, right? I was sharing with someone the other day about how my mom and dad, they got married at a very young age. They were 18 years old when they got married. And it's like, I remember when I got married, I was 22, 23 years old. And to think at that age, I would have had a five-year-old son already. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me. The reality is there's wisdom from those that have gone before us. There's wisdom for those who have experienced things in life that can help. And I know we live in a time where everybody thinks they can make up their own decisions. But there is wisdom in listening to the counsel of wise people. Those that have walked with the Lord. Those that have walked where you're about to walk. You know, I think next year I'm going to be officiating two marriages. And I know the excitement of that. I know the joy of getting married. But I also know some of the struggles that come with it. and the ability to give godly counsel. This one couple that I've been doing premarital counseling with, and it's not you, so don't think I'm talking about you. I tell you, it's just been such a joy to go through the material, talking about communication, talking about roles and responsibilities, and to be able to see how this young couple is just thriving on every scripture, on every bit of information that is being shared, because they've never been married before. And so they're enjoying the counsel. Guys, there are people in this world that need to hear our godly counsel and make sure it's godly counsel. I read something this week that said the most wise three words that anyone can share in this world is, I don't know. Better to say you don't know than to give wrong advice. And saying I don't know is a tough thing, isn't it? You have to admit you don't know something. Well, guess what? There's a lot of things we don't know. But do we know someone who knows all things? We do. So it's important that we spend time with a God who knows all things so that he can speak to our hearts so that we can help others. Paul was one that was willing to be used by God. He was willing to speak up because he had that experience. It says in verse 11, it says, nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. This shouldn't be surprising to us. I mean, think about it. A captain of a ship or a prisoner on your boat. Who are you going to listen to? Right? Now, we as believers would be like, listen to Paul, right? Because we know the end of the story. But they did not. So it makes sense that they listened to the helmsman because they were obviously, this ship was carrying cargo. There was about a lot of money that was involved in this. There was a lot of livelihood that was going to at stake here. And now we know the story. It's all going to be lost. And had they listened to the Apostle Paul, they would not have gained that loss. As believers, when we give godly counsel to someone, do me a favor. Don't ever tell them I told you so. Don't ever tell them I told you so. It's up to everyone's own responsibility whether they receive the counsel or not. Oh, it was many, many years ago. My wife and I were in a church, and there was a certain deacon that the pastor brought into the church. And this guy found out later on he was very much a troublemaker. He wanted his own way. He wanted his own things. And this deacon actually sent out letters to everybody at the church complaining about the pastor. So my wife and I actually went to the pastor, sat down with him, and shared what we had experienced. And I'll tell you what, that pastor defended that guy to the very end. To the point I just looked at my wife, I said, we've shared this information. What he does with it is up to him. And that's the reality. We can't necessarily convince anyone. And the Apostle Paul didn't go, hey, listen, I'm a Christian. You have to listen to me. He was still trusting in God. Even when people don't take our counsel, we have to trust in God that his way will get done. Because we're going to see all of this is at God's hand. Every bit of this whole storm, this whole journey, all the setbacks, all the difficulty is a work of God's hand. And that's probably one of the hardest things for believers because we think, God, we're your children. Why is it hard? Why is it difficult? I don't know the answer to it other than we live in a fallen world. And there's a ruler of this age that has some power to mess with us. But ultimately, God gets the ultimate glory. We see in verse 12 that the majority, it says in verse 12, and because the harbor was not suitable to winter in, the majority advised to set sail from there. This little town of Fairhaven, even though its name says Fairhaven, was not a good place to be in the winter. It was a small town. And for 276 people on the ship, to winter there, to spend all that time in a small town, was not going to be fun. So emotions were involved here. Emotions motivated them to move on. And we're going to see here in the next verse that even the weather made it indicate. Look at verse 13. When the south wind blew softly, excuse me, supposing that they had obtained their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, a tempestuous, whatever that word is, tumultuous, there we go, headwind arose called Euclidion. So when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind, we let her drive or drift. And running under the shelter of an island called Claudia, we secured the skiff with difficulty, lifeboat. When they had taken it on board, they used cables to undergird the ship, and fearing lest they should run aground on Syrtis sands, they struck sail and so were driven. And because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day they lightened the ship. On the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. Now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and no small tempest beat on us, here it is, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. Have you ever been in that place where all hope is finally given up? You've been to that place where you feel like you're at the absolute end of your rope, like there's no answer. Has anyone ever been caught out at sea? Ever gotten seasick? Some of us have gotten seasick. Can you imagine being seasick for several days? I mean, you got to understand the condition that these people are in. It's awful. My wife and I, when we lived in South Florida, we used to go scuba diving. And if you went out the inlet and it was rough, you knew it was going to be a rough day. It was going to be hard. And I can remember many times just going, get me in the water, get me off of these waves so that I can get down below. And just feeling that sickness. You know, if you didn't take, what was it called? Dramamine or? Dramamine. If you didn't take your Dramamine, you were going to just be sick. And one of the things I hated most was when you would sit on the back of the boat to get into the water, and I mean, you're ready to just throw up as it is. And then that diesel exhaust hit you. I mean, it was miserable. Now, here's the thing. This was only for a few hours. I couldn't wait to get home. I couldn't wait to get out of those conditions. We're going to see here in a minute. They were dealing with these conditions for 14 days, for 2 weeks. You want to talk about miserable? You want to talk about all hope is lost? Another time, a bunch of guys, I don't think you were there, Pastor RJ, but a bunch of us guys went out deep sea fishing. And literally when this big boat, it was a big boat, as soon as it got out the channel, you started hitting the waves, and this one poor friend of ours started throwing up from that second. And for 6 hours, he did nothing but throw up. It was miserable. It was miserable. And once we finally came inside, he goes, what, that's it? It's over already? I mean, he was a jokester. It's like, this poor guy. And I just can't imagine this. Can you imagine being in this condition and wanting to give up all hope? Listen, we have situations like that in our lives sometimes where we think all hope is lost. But for the Apostle Paul, there was hope. Look at the next verse, verse 21. But after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me. That's kind of an I told you so. He says, and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. However, we must run aground on a certain island. So, as these conditions are awful, as they're throwing stuff overboard, they're literally throwing money overboard, all their cargo, all the things that we're supposed to bring to make money for the boat owner. They're throwing all these things. Paul stands up and he says, don't lose hope. 276 people on that boat. And I think even Apostle Paul was probably close to that place as well. If it wasn't for the Lord speaking to him by this angel, I think Paul was like, this is it. This is the end. But does anybody remember a promise that God made to the Apostle Paul back in chapter 23? As you were witness to me in Jerusalem, so you shall be a witness to me in Rome. I got to believe that even though those conditions were horrible, something inside the Apostle Paul said, I believe God. I believe he's going to get me there safely. And through this difficult circumstance, I believe the Apostle Paul, being a man of prayer that he is, was praying for that boat and praying for every person on that boat. Why was Paul praying for people on that boat? Because Paul loved people. Because God told him, you're to love everybody. It's our job as believers to love everyone and to pray for people, to be able to pray with each other through the circumstances and the storms of our lives is a privilege for us. I love to pray with people on things that are going on in their lives and then hear later on, God answered our prayers, right? Cindy, you reached out this week asking a bunch of us to pray, and we prayed, and praise be to God, he answered our prayers favorably. Now, that doesn't always happen. Let's not forget that. Just because we pray, just because we ask God, doesn't always go our way, right? But that doesn't stop us from praying. That doesn't stop us from seeking the Lord. Lord, speak to us. Show us. You know, we say it a lot as believers, God, we want your will to be done. But I would say in parentheses, but we sure would love our will being done as well. But if we truly want God's will to be done, then God give us the strength if you're going to answer our prayer not towards what we want, right? Give us either change the circumstances or give us the strength to get through them. And I think for the Apostle Paul, when all hope was lost, the Apostle was like, Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but whatever you're doing, can you help me encourage somebody? And so it's important if we're going to share hope with others, if we're going to share our hope with someone, we need to be spending time with the Lord to get that hope. That hope has to be in us. And you know what that hope is? It's belief in God. It's belief in God for his will to be done, for him to receive glory, and to hold on to the promises that he's given to us. I think for the Apostle Paul, he's like, man, this seems impossible, but God, you said you're going to get me there. I don't know how you're going to get me there. Maybe he thought he was going to float there. I don't know, from the shipwreck. But whatever it was, it encouraged him enough to believe. And I just love those words in verse 22. And now I urge you to take heart. My brothers, my sisters, this is what we need. In the days that we're living, we need to take heart. Again, who knows what the future holds? None of us do. God does. But we need to take heart today. We need to take heart today that there is hope in Jesus. There's hope in our relationship to God. And that is the one thing we have. And that is the one thing that we get to take with us everywhere we go. So I encourage you, be like the Apostle Paul and be able to share hope with others. Paul was discouraged, certainly. But Paul had the word of God come to him. That's what we need. We need God to give us these words, and so we need to be asking God to do it, just as the Apostle Paul was as well. And here's the other thing. The Apostle Paul was listening for the Lord. That's a big thing, that we listen for God. It's one thing to ask God. It's one thing to pray to God, but if we don't listen for God, if we don't listen for his answer, we'll miss it. We'll miss it. The Apostle Paul didn't miss it. He heard it and he was willing to share it because it encouraged others. How important it is to understand that. Paul couldn't keep his hope to himself. Isn't that true? If you truly have that kind of hope, if you truly are that encouraged by your relationship with God, you're going to want to share that with someone else. God, I hope we don't get more excited about sharing a meal that we had, or a restaurant that we went to, or a movie that we watched. I would hope we'd be more excited to share about what God is speaking into our hearts if we're truly listening. Listen, guys, this last thing. Hope comes from your belief. Hope doesn't just happen. Hope comes from your belief in God. Paul's hope came from the fact that God was going to get him to Rome. And so Paul was listening for that voice. He was listening for that word. How does God want to show himself faithful to you? How does he want to increase your hope? He wants you to believe in him. As we spend some time now remembering what Jesus has done for us, let's not forget the hope that he's given to us. Let's not forget the hope that that cross gives to us, that he died for your sins, that he died that all of your sins and all your mistakes would be forgiven. That's hope, my friends. When we partake of communion, that is God reminding us of the hope that we have. And so I encourage all of us in this time, as we spend time remembering what Jesus has done, to really just say, Lord, speak into our hearts. Encourage us in the times that we're living in. God, we're going to need your strength this week. We're going to need your strength on Tuesday, that your will truly will be done. And for on Wednesday and on Thursday and for the rest of this year, we need God's hope. We need his encouragement. Paul said one last thing. Notice it says here in verse 26, therefore take heart, men, for I believe God. Paul didn't say, I believe in God. He said, I believe God. Our belief, your belief of God is what gets us through. The Bible says even the demons believe in God. We need to believe God, that he is in fact faithful, and he is the one that gives us our hope. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. And Lord, many of us in this room can identify with the storms of life and how we can feel at an absolute end of our rope, like all hope has been lost. But Lord, as believers, that's never the case. It's never true, though we may feel that way. Our spirit reminds us, the Holy Spirit reminds us, that there is the hope of heaven, that there is the hope of our Savior, that there's a hope of greater and better days, the hope that you're with us always. You never leave us. You never forsake us. And so help us to be like the Apostle Paul, God. Help us in the midst of our storms to be men and women of prayer, men and women that seek your heart, seek your answer. I pray for all of those here this morning. Whatever difficulties they may find themselves in right now, God, I pray that you would speak into their circumstances, that you would instill hope and instill belief, that you're at work. You're behind the scenes, maybe, putting things in place. Help us to be faithful. Help us to trust in you. Help us to believe that you are God, that you are seated on your throne. And let us remember that Jesus is at your right hand, seated on his throne, interceding on our behalf. So speak into our hearts, Lord. Show us that hope that we have. Help us to be of good cheer. Help us not to lose heart. You are a faithful God that will get us to the very end. Our trust and our hope is in you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.